This building, designated Building 7, this is where we hold the administrative review boards.
Captain Pat Salzman, commander of the unit that conducts the review boards, is taking reporters on a tour between the two high fences topped with rings of razor wire that form the perimeter of the Camp Delta detention center.
The detainee is in the center chair. Of course, you see next to his foot there's a shackle there on deck. Depending on their compliance, they may or may not be shackled to the deck there. And on either side, on this side here, is the linguist who will do the translation. On the far side is the assisting military officer.
That officer's job is to explain the process to the detainee. But there is no defense lawyer and not exactly a prosecutor either, although another officer presents the evidence against the detainee. The detainee has a chance to make a statement, and then he's removed from the hearing room so classified evidence can be presented. Only about half of the detainees choose to attend their review board sessions at all. The board of three senior U.S. military officers makes a recommendation, which then goes to the Deputy Secretary of Defense in Washington for a final decision. The options are release, transfer to custody in their home country, or continue to detain.
The obligation is to take the information we have and determine, is this person still a threat? We go on what we have in the different assessment from the different organizations. If the individual chooses to come to the board, what the individual says, the statement they make, and we have to weigh that the best we can.
This process is done for all the detainees every year and is separate from the military commissions that are beginning to hold trials for detainees who have been accused of war crimes. 13 detainees have been charged, and the U.S. Supreme Court is reviewing the constitutionality of that process. But at the administrative review boards, Captain Salzman says there's usually a lot of evidence related to each detainee's background.
One thing taken alone isn't necessarily going to make the difference in the individual being determined to be a medium threat value or a high threat value. There's so much information we have. Generally, if a person is determined to be a high threat, there's a bunch of other information from other agencies. What I'm saying, we won't base it just on that one piece of information.
The officers on the board are not judges or lawyers. Captain Salzman says they use their command experience to weigh the evidence as fairly as they can. But human rights lawyers say the whole process is unfair and illegal.
We're giving them these kinds of proceedings that are incredibly unfair.
Attorney Barbara Olshansky of the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York represents more than 200 of the Guantanamo detainees.
This gets to a very interesting strategy that the government has, which is to call the war on terror a war and yet not agree to apply the laws of war, the Geneva Conventions, to the people they arrest.
Olshansky says the vast majority of Guantanamo detainees are innocent, and while she welcomes the decision to release or transfer 127 of them, she says the process continues to keep many men in long-term detention for insufficient reasons and without any legitimate legal process.
It's not like we don't have tools to address terrorism. We arrest people for terrorism, and then we seek to have them extradited to the United States. We've done that for years, and we're very successful at prosecuting them. The president has decided he doesn't like having to use those channels, and so now we are creating something that means he can bypass both law enforcement requirements and the laws of war. And that is what is so disturbing. It is outside of any legal framework.
Captain Salzman, who runs the administrative review boards, takes the opposite view. He says the detainees are getting more opportunities to be released than they would have had in past conflict.
It's unprecedented. In previous wars, of course, this is an unconventional war, but previous wars, when a country takes captives, generally they're held until the cessation of hostilities and arrangements are made to trade. In this case, this unconventional war, it's still ongoing, but it's an opportunity for these individuals to return to their home country during the hostilities going on. It's unprecedented, to my knowledge. It's not required by the Geneva Convention or laws of war.
The captain says the review process makes the board officers face some difficult decisions.
As far as releasing the suicide bomber, for example, I know there are some cases of people returning to the battlefield. You can't predict that.
Last year's administrative review boards will leave between 303 and 333 detainees at Guantanamo, depending on the outcome of the 30 cases still not decided. But many of the men designated for release or transfer may need to stay at the detention center for many more months, even years. Once the decisions are made, it's up to the U.S. State Department to work with the detainees' home countries to arrange for their release or transfer. That process has proved to be slow in some cases, leaving at least 9 detainees approved for release through other channels more than a year ago still behind the barbed wire. Al Pessin, VOA News, Guantanamo.